This is a tape being interviewed, or tape interview for Women's Overseas Service League, Orange County Unit. And the person being interviewed is Margaret Kaminsky Bliss. I spent 4.5 years in the Army Nurse Corps from 21st of August 1941 to July 46. 2.5 years spent in the South Pacific.
What influenced you to volunteer for service?
I didn't know.
Oh.
I was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, Townsville, Australia, Hollandia, New Guinea, owned by the Dutch, and Manila in the Philippines. And since we missed our ship and orders home by 2 days, we spent 6 weeks at the Disposition Center in Manila. After graduating from St. Joseph Hospital School of Nursing and passing Idaho State Board, I became active in the local American Red Cross, and at that time they were in charge of obtaining nurses on a voluntary basis for the Army. I worked as a private duty nurse for a short time before volunteering, and I also did some traveling and before I entered the service. My duties in the service were nursing and administrative. At Fort Lewis, Washington, I was ward nurse. Do you want to ask me questions?
Go ahead for a while.
At Fort Lewis, Washington, I was ward nurse, medical surgical supervisor, assistant night supervisor of Section 1, 2, and 3, and 4, the entire Fort Lewis Hospital.
Did this experience in any way prepare you for a career following nursing?
No, because I had graduated from a trained hospital. I trained at St. Joseph Hospital School of Nursing, and I was well prepared for the Army.
Can you tell me how much pay you got at that time?
Our pay in August of 41 was $70 per month. We received a pay hike sometime in 1943 while overseas to $150 a month. I don't remember my pay in 1945 as first lieutenant.
Were you given any opportunities for service for education during your time in the service?
No, we were busy working in the hospitals with all the wounded soldiers coming South Pacific.
Were there different assignments given to women than there were to men?
No, because all the nurses really had did nursing service except for those that were in charge at the in the nurse's charge office.
You didn't see any segregation between men and women except from the standpoint of your career preparation?
No segregation whatsoever.
What kind of housing did you have?
Our housing in a 12 Station Hospital at Fort Lewis, Washington, our nurses lived in Section 2, 3, and 4, were single-room barracks. Section 1 was a brick building, which the chief nurse and the regular Army stayed in. In Townsville, Australia, our quarters and hospital were two blocks of homes. Homes were on stilts because of the extreme heat. The Army cemented the grounds under the houses, and this area was also used for patients. Our bed capacity in Townsville, Australia, at times was 800.
At Fort Lewis, then, you did have some discrimination in that regular Army was separated from the Army of the Reserve.
Well, that was because the Section 1 was a main post, and there were only those brick buildings, and that was the only available area for the housing.
What kind of medical care were you receiving?
The medical care, to my knowledge, was excellent in all the areas that I was in. I had strep throat twice in New Guinea and fell through the shower house floor and injured my leg, and the care was excellent.
And what kind of uniforms did you wear?
Our uniform in August of 41, we were in civilian clothes and we were given blue uniforms. It was a navy blue jacket with the light navy skirt. And when we went overseas to Townsville, and then during the war, after war was declared, we had to be in our, we were no longer able to wear civilian clothes. In Townsville, Australia, we had blue seersucker dresses, brown and white seersucker dresses and caps later, and our dress uniform was still the blues. We were issued ODs later.
Now, do you want to go on with your experiences while you were in the service, please?
Oh, do you want to have me tell you about our quarters in Australia and
yes.
New Guinea?
Mm-hmm.
In Australia, our quarters and hospital were the two blocks of homes. I told you that. And in New Guinea, in Lambian New Guinea, all the hospital except surgery was barracks with tin roofs and tar paper partially on the sides with no closed entryways. There were 24 of us in the barracks. Later, burlap was added to the ceiling in our night duty sleeping quarters. And in Manila, the disposition center was open barracks on the beach.
Were there any insects or animals or reptiles or anything of that sort that were particularly troublesome down there?
Yes. In New Guinea, we had scorpions, centipedes, rats, pythons, snakes, and the Anopheles mosquito was a problem. They sprayed the area every day about 4 o'clock, and then after sundown, we had to use skin repellent on our face, arms, and necks. And our uniform in New Guinea was long-sleeved suntan shirts, long suntan pants, and high-top shoes at all times.
What did you wear for head cover?
For head cover, we didn't have to wear anything there. We had a lot of heavy rains and so forth, and we just seemed to dash back and forth to the area. We weren't ever allowed out of the area, except when we had dates and went to another area.
Did you have any official leave time?
No. The official leave time I had was flying some cycles from Townsville, Australia to Sydney, Australia, and we had 5 days, and that was my only vacation in all the time overseas.
And you spent a total of how much time overseas?
2.5 years.
After the war ended, did you get any time, or did you go directly home from there?
I went directly home. I was, we were 2 days late missing our ship and orders home in Manila, so we stayed there for about 6 weeks. After being discharged from Camp Beale, we had to wait in San Francisco in order to get transportation home to Lewiston, Idaho. And that was sort of a problem, but I went directly home to Lewiston, Idaho.
During that 6 weeks in Manila, what did you do?
Well, we just sort of waited around and prayed that we'd get orders home. We were all tired and anxious to get going.
Did you live in tents, or did you have barracks of some sort?
There were barracks at the deposition center, 24 of us in the quarters, all waiting to go home. There were several quarters, and we did get a ride into Manila and got to see the area a couple times.
Did you leave the service immediately upon your return to the United States, or did you stay in for a period of time?
No, I left. I was discharged at Camp Beale.
And did your time in the service help you any in the work that you were going to do later?
Oh, I think all the experience caring for the wounded soldiers was a great help. I was talked into working for a doctor. I was going to go to WSC and get my degree in nursing. I think I only need 11 points. We did give credits for being in the service. But Dr. Hari talked me into working for him, so I stayed there.
How much credit time were you granted at the Washington State University College for your military time?
I don't remember, but it was quite a few points for being in the service. I was delighted, I know.
Yeah, did they give you any credit for your nursing education?
I don't remember that, but I'm sure they did.
Did you find any conflict between being a woman and being in the military?
No, not at all.
Did you use any of the benefits from your GI Bill?
I had already applied to go to Washington State College, but as I said, Dr. Hari talked me into working for him, and I worked for him for 12 years.
And tell me some of the adjustments that you had to make to going in, when you got into military services compared to living in civilian life. Wearing uniforms, living in the quarters you did, and so forth.
Well, I think being in 3 years of nurses training sort of prepared me for all the Army rules and regulations.
How long were you out of nursing school before you went into the Army?
About a year. I did some private duty and traveled.
So you really didn't have much time to adjust to a non-structured way of life.
No, and I'm the type that adjusts pretty easily to restrictions.
What do you wear as the most unpopular restriction?
Oh, I think after war was declared at Fort Lewis, always looking at your watch to be sure you got in through the gate on time and having to identify yourself.
Curfew hours.
Curfews.
So mm-hmm. Did you have time for either in the United States or overseas for any romantic interests or?
I fell in love, I think, at first sight with Crawford Lamb McCoy and married him in March the 5th of 1943, and on April 1st of 43, he had an untimely death caused by an accidental gunshot wound, and that was very tragic.
Yes, it would have been. At that time, were they still discharging nurses if they were married, or were they permitted to stay in the service?
We tried to keep it a secret, but as I went through the main building, Major Bergeson, chief nurse, said, "I heard you were married last night," and they had stopped doing that at that just shortly after that.
Now, what other particular interesting incidents happened to you while you were overseas or while you were in the service?
Oh, I think being in New Guinea was a lot of the memorable times. The natives and the native villages, Lake Clinton near Lake Centeni, and MacArthur's headquarters was on a hill several miles away. The jungle, its rains, floods, and dusty roads. And we had to be escorted to the outhouse, 16-hole or privy, by a guard after dark at night in New Guinea. And then an occasional submarine would be sighted in the bay, and we'd have occasional blackouts. And even after war ended, there was a Japanese submarine there, and we had a blackout.
Did you have an opportunity to meet any of the star rank individuals at the station in New Guinea or that came through there?
Well, when I was in New Guinea and in charge of medical and surgical groups and also the skin wards, we had General Kirk, who was from Washington, D.C., and head of the United States Medical Corps. I was able to meet him on our rounds at the hospital. That was interesting. And then General Johnson was, when I was in charge of the officers' ward, was a patient there. He was in charge of the Black Division at the time in New Guinea.
They still had segregation among the between the blacks and the whites at that time, yeah?
Yes, there was a Black Division.
Did they integrate those at any time while you were there, or did it remain segregated the entire time?
After our hospital left and eight of us with the highest points were left behind, I was sent to 334th Wisconsin Unit to do temporary duty until our orders came for home. And most of the people left, or the soldiers left at that time, was the Black Division on the bay.
Did the, among the nurses that you were stationed with, were your relationships very cordial? Did you remain close friends with any of them afterwards?
Yes, I used to correspond with quite a few of the girls at Pittsburgh University, And our 12-station hospital still has reunions every 2 years in different parts of the cities in the United States, which is interesting.
How many people come to these reunions as a rule?
Sometimes there are 60. Quite a few of the doctors have died, and some of the nurses have also left us.
Do the enlisted personnel come to the reunions too?
No, no.
It has not included them, or was it a deliberate exclusion, or is it just that they haven't come?
It was, I think, probably just the officers, and I think it's such a chore to get people together anyway. They thought it was too big of a problem.
How many years did you continue to work in nursing after you left the service?
After I left the service, after a year's resting, I worked for Dr. Hari for 12 years, or 11 years. Then I lived at home with my mother and father. I married Fred Bliss in 1957, and in November of 59, he died suddenly of a heart attack. So I sort of dashed around and visited friends and families for a while. In 1964, I went to Hawaii for two months before coming to work at Leisure World September 1st of 1964. I was a nurse hired in this area.
Mm-hmm. Did you go back to school at any time?
No, but we did have educational programs. I continued. And then in 1973, I worked for a certified cardiologist here at Laguna Hills Leisure World Clinic. And in 1973, I had a car accident, neck injury, and that's when I retired.
Did you ever draw any benefits from the military or from VA? Or just when you got out of the service, that was the end of your military connection?
That was it.
Do you have anything further you want to add?
Well, I think one of the most memorable days was the day that war was declared and the war ended. It's still quite a memory, vivid memory in my mind.
Did you have almost immediate blackouts at Fort Lewis when war was declared, or was it kind of a panic situation, or was it taken very calmly?
It was taken very calmly. We had to, nurses were smoking in closets. We had to have all our areas blacked out. I happened to be later on night duty in Section 1. That was a big brick building. We had as high as 100 surgical patients, and a lot of it, the less ill, were out in a closed-in glass area, porches, and that was really a kind of a problem to nurse with flashlights with red.
You had no provisions for blackout to begin with at all?
No. And all of the Japanese at that time, we noticed, had left the wards. Our Japanese ward people were no longer there.
Did you, did they provide blackout panels for the windows at a later date, or
yes,
did you continue
yes.
to nail
no,
blankets
no.
up?
No, we had blackout areas.
What was your feeling about the Japanese incarceration?
I didn't have any hard feelings against them, but I can understand after being in the Philippines after the war and knowing what went on in Hawaii, I could understand why that they weren't able to trust all of them. Most of them probably were innocent. But even in the Army in Townsville, Australia, they used to call me and say, G2 wants to see you, and I'd think, what have I done now? And they'd be asking me if I remembered the officer, such and such. He sort of acted, and he was listed as psycho. He said that a coconut has fell on his head, and he was being observed as one of the spies for the Japanese. And all of the nurses had to be careful of, they didn't try to get information, but we had a rec hall where a lot of the flyers came and ate soup and drank coffee. And they were very cautious. So everyone. Some nurses' uniforms were used by some of the Australian girls in trying to get information.
Was there any provision for entertainment or recreation when you were in overseas assignments? Did you have U.S. show shows? Did you have movies?
We had wonderful U.S. show shows. Bob Hope was one that I remember, and we had Oklahoma came. But we usually had pouring down rains, and it had to be canceled. The torrential rains in the jungle were really something.
You had no building in which, or
no, it was all out of doors.
Could be held in.
No.
And did they show movies at all, or?
We had movies at night, and they were pretty good.
And they were shown outdoors too.
Yes, uh-huh. We had to be sure, and there was a big can of skin repellent there. We had to be sure and cover our hands and face and neck.
Now, I would like to know if you have any additional information you would like to share with us.
I believe I've covered everything. I was proud of all our American soldiers and all the personnel in the service. They were proud to serve their country, and that was...
Did you lose any nurses because of illness or death while you were overseas?
Yes, we had a disease caused from Adderbrin that was an exfoliated dermatitis. And we had one nurse that was flown right to the Hamilton Field, and she died when she arrived. And then we had a couple patients that were not nurses, but patients that had leprosy. The tropical disease, our 27th General Hospital was a main quarters for the blood bank for the American Red Cross to serve the South Pacific. And then we also had a group of scientists who were doing research on all tropical diseases. That was very interesting. So it was an interesting life. We worked hard and had a lot of trials and tribulations, but you really didn't think of them because you thought of the hardships the soldiers were going through.
Today we hear so much about the nurses coming back from Vietnam and the men coming back from Vietnam and flashbacks and psychosis and so forth afterwards. Did you have any trouble adjusting to forgetting some of the terrible things that you saw and that happened to you?
No, because you were very busy and you had a job to do. And we had some nurses that went home psychotic, and quite a few of the psycho patients were some that had problems at home, and the stress and strain was just too much
for them. And in the years after you got out and went back into civilian life, did you have any recurrences of depression or
no.
anything of that sort?
Because not at all. No.
Did low-flying aircraft ever bother you? Or?
Not at all. No.
Just wondering how World War II nurses fared as compared to those who were in Vietnam, because I hear so much about them today. I wondered if maybe we were stronger or something.
I think it's society we're living in. Occasionally, and it was very, very occasion, we would get somebody at that time that had a vial which was about 3 inches long of morphine or Dilaudid. We didn't have Demerol in those days. It came later.
Right.
So we had very, very little of dope addiction, to my knowledge.
And it was not available there like it was in Vietnam from the natives.
No.
Because they didn't grow, the only thing they grew there was betel nut.
And they chewed that.
They chewed
and
that.
And their teeth turned orange.
But for some reason or another, the Americans didn't seem to go so much for that.
No, not at all. The natives were interested in getting American cigarettes, and at that time, they were all interested in getting Lucky's. They didn't want Raleigh's.
Oh, they had a selective idea of what they wanted.
Yes, and it was strange to see a native go down the dusty streets or wander around the area in an wool OD GI suit.
Did you have chocolate there?
Yes.
Or did it just turn gray and...
No, everything was cocoa butter, and the chocolate was, our butter was cocoa butter, and our chocolate was, I got most of the bars because nobody liked them, and they were Hershey cocoa butter bars. Because Elandia was right on the equator, and it was very humid and almost unbearably hot.
What were your rations?
Everything was, a lot of it came, our powdered eggs and our powdered potatoes all came from Australia, and they weren't as good a grade later as we, and later we got American food. Everything was powdered.
Did you get any K rations at all, or?
No, I always liked the K rations when somebody brought them by. I thought they were good.
The flight crews brought those in.
Yes, and then I'd get a lot of packages of candy and different packages from home.
Is the candy coming from home hold up till it got there in the tropics like that, or did it?
Pretty well, unless somebody broke into it. In Australia, we had a lot of ants. We had to keep our bedposts and ants, and keep all our nylons and undies and ants in the glass jars. But most of it came through. There was a lot of I guess people in the post office department, some of the kids had sticky fingers and would steal things.
And you wore the seersucker pants and shirt?
No, they were the just as the men did, yeah. The suntan, long sleeve shirts.
You did
pants.
Not wear the twill fatigues at all?
No, not on duty.
They were too heavy.
Yes, it was hot.
And you didn't have to wear a helmet and helmet liner.
No, we were issued all of those.
Yeah.
We all had those issues just in case we
needed
them.
But you didn't have to wear them.
No. Townsville, Australia was bombed by the Japanese before we got there, and also Darwin.
Well, I think probably that pretty well covers your experiences. I hope we got it all in.
I think so. I think one could really write a book on all their experiences.
I think so, too.